Thank you for being here. I have a few announcements for the Spanish church. So, hermanos de la iglesia, recuerden, mañana tenemos visitación a las 6, ¿ok? Para el día grande, que es este domingo. Arriba hay volantes, si quiere llevarse de una vez, ¿ok? So, no se lo voy a olvidar, mañana nos vamos a reunir arriba a las 6, ¿ok? ¿Amén? ¿Amén? Amén. Well, I thank you for the opportunity. Pastor asked me to preach, and I'm like, sure, no problem. And I asked them if I could bring the Spanish church down, and, you know, they, some of them know a little bit of English. A lot of them know a lot. So, but if you could please turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Once you're there, we could please stand in reverence to the Word of God. Matthew, chapter 24. We're only going to read one verse. Read one verse only. Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 3. Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 3. I'm glad we have some visitors in the crowd tonight. I just want to tell you guys, I don't know where you are exactly, okay? But make sure you come back and hear Pastor Angel preach. This is his church, you know, and I'm just a visitor here. But I know you're going to receive a blessing to hear him preach. Matthew 24, verse 3, it says, "And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just calm my nerves, guide my tongue tonight, Lord, to preach your word with power, with love, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you use this, Lord, use this message in a mighty way to be an encouragement, Lord, to be a challenge, mostly, Lord, to these people. And we pray for our pastor, Lord, as he's away, bring him back safely, Lord, and be with us the rest of the night. In your name I pray. Amen. You may have a seat. Thank you. We have Jesus Christ speaking of the destruction of the temple here in verses 1 and 2. And the disciples, being intrigued by this statement, they ask Jesus, "When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And as I read this verse and preparing for the message, I thought, man's wonder and ponder of the end has always been in our mind. Some people don't like to think about it, but the ponder, the wonder, how is it going to be at the end? What is death going to be like? What is the rapture going to be like? And folks, you know, this thought for sure has come into my mind, and I'm sure into many of us as well. What of the end? Astrologers have predicted that the end of the world will come in approximately 5 billion years. When the sun, it begins to expand and engulfs Mars and all the other planets and burning up everything in the galaxy. The Mayans had predicted the end of the world, that went along with their calendar, December 21st, 2012, almost 10 years ago. In 1910, there was hysteria around the world, people buying food and buying breathing masks and protective suits because of the tremendous Halley's Comet that was going to crash into Earth. It was believed, right, that in the year 2000, it was expected that the world would fall into chaos by entering into the new century. You know, the collapse of computers and technology would send the world to its death. Even up to unforgettable 2020, we were told that a large percentage of the world was going to die. Many thought that the beginning of the end had finally arrived. The founder of the Worldwide Church of God, Herbert Armstrong, told his members of his church that the rapture was supposed to happen in 1936. A little late. After that prophecy failed, he changed the date 3 more times. You guys have heard of old man Pat Robertson? Had predicted the end of the world several times as well. Many have wanted to predict the end of the world. Many have wanted to predict the rapture, the second coming of Christ. But let me tell you, folks, all have failed. And I was, as I was writing this, I came from a little town, little town, 6,000 people. I went to Elgin, 110,000, and I got my first glimpse of Chicago my freshman year of college. And you would see a lot of people all around Chicago begging for money, you know, homeless people. But all of it, then every so often you get these people. Who has ever seen this sign? Oh, yeah, the end is near. John 3:16. Now, don't get me wrong. It's coming. It's coming. The end is near, folks. But if we're there in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. Look what it says there. But of that day and hour knoweth what? No man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Hey, church. The end is near. That is the title of my message tonight. The end is near. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 17 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." That date, those 1936 or 2000, that date, that time that people have tried to predict, that place, that time where the world will go into chaos. Hey, I don't know exactly when it's going to be, but I know it's near. I don't pretend to know the future, and I won't predict when the end will come. But what I can tell you is that the end is near. The end, the King is coming. And we don't know when, but we do know how. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, turn with me in your Bibles there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tonight. It's good to use the Bible in church, isn't it? You should have your Bible in church. Amen. You got to double check what the preacher's saying is true. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. When is it? I don't know. How is it? I can tell you. Verse 52 says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." I don't know when, but I do know how. There's a song that we sing in Spanish church. It's based off of 1 Thessalonians 5:6. I won't sing it in Spanish because you guys won't know what I'm saying. Well, some of you guys will. In English it says, "Those who sleep will stay. Those who sleep will stay. Those who stayed awake will go with him. And I'm going with him. I'm going with him. I'm not staying, I'm going with him." The end of the world that many people have vision in their mind. Hey, folks, it's not the end for us. The time will come where Christ will come in the clouds. The time will come when we will live this filthy and wicked, sin-cursed world to go to our heavenly place. The end will come. True chaos will finally come to this world. The reign of the Antichrist will come. The 7 years of tribulation will come. And those who do not repent will be left behind. Those who will not accept will be condemned to the eternal fire. The end is near. Now, I know that there will come a time when that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Of the things in heaven and the things in earth, the things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The end is near. These things that I have explained to you, what the Bible says about that end, the rapture or life ending, it's going to come. They are certain, they are sure, they are written clearly in God's Word. And I don't know about you, but I believe the Bible. Okay, Brother Danny, well, we know that the end is near. Now what? Well, there's three ways we're going to look at how people respond to the end. Three ways people respond to the end tonight. Go with me. Go back with me, please, to Matthew 24. We're going to be in Matthew 24 just for a little bit. We'll be jumping around here. Matthew chapter 24, verse 40. Matthew 24, 40. The Word of God says, "Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be what? Taken. One shall be taken, and the other left." The other left. Number one tonight, on how people react or anticipate the end, number one is with dread. With dread. If you're not ready for the end, if you're not ready for the rapture, if you're not ready for when the time comes when Jesus comes in the clouds, if you're not a child of God, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you should have a fear of the end. How sad would it be for a person who attends Faith Baptist Church for when the end comes, when the start of the tribulation, when the church is raptured up, for someone to be left? It would be horrible. I would go into a fear. How sad would it be? If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there should be a fear in your life. A fear of getting left behind. A fear of ending up in a place called hell for eternity. Imagine the fear you will face when you're in bed with your wife beside you and you open your eyes and you get up. Oh, she's probably getting ready for the day. And you get up, you do your normal routine. And you go to the bathroom, and there's no one in the bathroom. The light's not even on. Oh, she might be in the living room reading her Bible. And you go into the living room, and she's not there. And you hear a whole bunch of commotion on site, and you're getting notifications on your phone, and breaking news, and millions have disappeared. And you realize you missed it. What a fear that would come over you, a chill. Imagine your husband, your rock, all of a sudden not be there anymore and not die, but be in heaven. Imagine waking up, getting ready for your day, and going to your children's room, knocking on, "Good morning, time to get up for school," and your children be gone, and you be left. What a fear. Folks, I do not want to experience that fear. Hey, teenagers, this message is not about making you doubt your salvation. But it is something to think about for those that have never accepted Jesus Christ. You get up and your mom usually makes you breakfast, prepares your lunch, and you go up to your whole house and your brother and sister aren't there. Mom's gone. Dad's gone. All the cars are here. Where's everyone at? And you're left. What a fear. What a dread to live through. And you know what? Maybe the rapture won't come. Maybe the rapture won't come before. Maybe you will die before the rapture comes. And you close your eyes in death and open your eyes in hell. You open your eyes in the darkest, ugliest, most painful, hottest place you have ever felt. And your heart will fill with fear and dread. Folks, the end is near, and we have to understand that there may be people in this very room that think of the end and they dread it with fear. That's why the verse for our missions conference, Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee, the time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." For those who live in fear, I want to tell you that God does not want us to live in fear. We know that the condemnation of hell is something serious. It is something real. And we know that those who have never accepted Jesus Christ are going to the eternal lake of fire. But for those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He has given us the spirit. He has given the spirit to them who have accepted Jesus Christ. For those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, glory to God, we don't have to wait in fear. We don't have to wait in dreading the day. We don't have to wait in dread. Number two, the way to wait for the end is with desire. With desire. We are children of God. God gives us desire, a desire to anticipate the end. We see those signs and we see, a lot of people think, man, those guys are crazy. And we look at the end is near and we shout, hallelujah, I'm going home. Don't wait for it with dread. Wait for it with desire. You know, like when you're watching a great movie, teenagers. And you almost get to the end. And mom comes in and, no, wait, 5 more minutes. You want to get to the end. You want to see how it's been. You've watched the movie 50,000 times, but you still want to get to the end. Hey, guys, we know how it ends. And we can't wait. We can't wait. We wait for the end with a desire. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Right quick, we're going to read chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. 13 through 17. 13 through 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 17. The Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have what? No hope." Hey, glory to God, we have hope. We have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, I believe. How about you? Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will bring, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, if that doesn't give you a desire for the end to come, I don't know what will. The end of this filthy world, the end of all the politics and the sin and the darkness, the end of everything to be with our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Hey, it doesn't get any better than that. I love that verse. Verse 17. "And we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." I remember going to college my freshman year, and as time went on, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, you know, college guy, 18 years old, man, it's awesome. Freedom. My mom, I was the first bird to fly out of the nest. And she would, and eventually, yes, I would be excited to go home too. But to meet again after such a long time, after months and months of never being away from home, man, what a beautiful reunion. The end of this world means that great family reunion we're going to have in the clouds. Mothers who are in here, Maybe those babies you never got to hold, never got to meet. Those parents that passed away a long time ago. They're going to be waiting for us. And man, what a desire. Man, I can't wait. It's a desire to see those who have influenced us in our Christian life. Pastors and people who poured their life and time into us, who have gone up to heaven. Man, hey, we're going to see them there. The end is nothing to dread, but something to desire. The end means an eternal life with Jesus Christ in heaven. The end means eternity of joy. The end means an eternity without sadness or pain. The end of this world means the beginning of eternity. D.L. Moody said this on his deathbed. Is this dying? Why? This is bliss. There is no valley. I have been within the gates. Earth is receding and heaven is coming. God is calling and I must go. Hey, brother, how are you waiting for the end? Are you waiting with dread or with desire? Maybe neither tonight. Maybe number three, you're waiting for the end with disappointment. Disappointment. Every mom, I think, once the children get to a certain age, they'll say, Trace, I want you to sweep. Take out the trash. I want Trinity to do the laundry and fold the clothes. And I want the other two to go to work. And the chores are clearly stated. And she says, I'm going to the bank, going to get some groceries, and I'll be back in an hour and a half. And, oh, we got an hour and a half. Yeah. Turn on the TV, go for a bike ride, take a nap. And you set the timer, you look at the clock, and you got 15 minutes left, and you haven't done nothing. I confess, I've done that. Uh-oh. And Mama's coming back, and I haven't gotten anything done. The end will come. The end of the world, the end of time, the end of your life. May it be the rapture or death. Suppose the rapture could come today. Before the night was out. How would you respond? With dread? With desire? Maybe disappointment. Maybe you're here and when you think of the end, you feel sorry you didn't do anything more for God. Or maybe you just feel sorry you didn't do anything for God. Sad to say, but there are many Christians who, outside of maybe winning their family for Christ, which is great. It's great. Save your household. Outside of that, maybe they haven't really led other people to the Lord. They haven't gone soul winning. They haven't strived to sacrifice something more. Imagine the disappointment you will feel when the end has come and you have devoted your life to self-pleasure. And you have devoted your life to working. I got a good job, preacher. That's great. And that's what you devoted your life to, the great job. And the end will come and you devoted your life to your dreams and what you wanted to do. And the end will come and you will be there in disappointment, knowing that you didn't do enough. When we will get to heaven, when the books will be open, what will be said about you, Christian, who loves God? Will we see your dedication to God's work Will your dedication to God's work be seen? Will your faithfulness be counted? Will your sacrifice be contemplated? Will your genuineness and your effort to people being saved be commended? Or will your lack of dedication be seen? You know what? I wish Christians, and I tell my church this all the time, I wish Christians were as dedicated to God as they were to their work. As dedicated and as fervent and as humble and as obedient they are to their boss, I wish they were as humble and obedient and faithful and on time for God. But no, they got too much to do at work and not enough to do in God's house. Will your lack of faithfulness be shown? Will your hypocrisy be slated? Or will your rebellion finally be exposed? Good facade you put on. Man, you've got several generations of Christians backing you up. You don't got to do much work. And when the end comes, you will be disappointed. Will it be seen that you actually really never sacrificed a lot for God? Will it be shown that you actually shied away from being a faithful witness? It's sad to say, but maybe many Christians that think, it's sad to see that many Christians think they're doing God a favor by coming to church. You think Faith Baptist Church is so blessed to have you? Let me remind you, brother, that you and I are nobody. We're just sinners saved by grace. And while we wait for the end, let us not get to the end with disappointment, but with a desire to see God's face. Let me remind you that you and I are nobody, and we should strive to serve the risen Savior. That's all we should do. And when we come to the end of time, there will be no opportunity to give excuses. You can give Brother Allen, you can give Pastor, you can give Brother Michael, Brother Andrew, any excuse you want. But when we come to the end of time and God has asked us, what have you done for me? It's not going to be much excuses to give. I can't get involved, preacher. Brother Danny. I can't get more involved in the work of the Lord. You know what? I don't think it's a can't issue. I think it's a won't issue. That is what's happening. You know, and it's sad to say, in a lot of independent fundamental Spanish churches, there has been a degradation of standards of fervent and soul winning. And church, it's sad to say, but the independent fundamental Baptist movement in a lot of churches, now not all of them, but in a lot of them, has not even lasted a generation. Not even, why preacher? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it's not that they couldn't do what the Word of God said, it's that they wouldn't do it. And church, I just want to remind you and challenge you today that as we get to the end of time, as we see that the end is near, let us not get to the end with a disappointment, but with a desire knowing that we have served faithfully our risen Savior. It's not a thing. It's not a can't issue. It's a won't issue. Oh, preacher, it's just, I really don't like the people from the church. It's because that lady, her comments sometimes just get me, and I don't want to go soul winning. Oh, it's because they always make fun of me. Oh, it's because this and that. Oh, I don't want to go to church. Pastor offended me. Well, you know what? It's because serving God, being involved in church, it was never my thing. You're a son of God. You come to the house of God. I hope this is your thing. You dedicate your time and your effort and your love and your sweat and your money in this holy place. I hope it's your thing to go out door knocking. Hey, it's important. It's important. We lose the focus. We lose the desire. We lose the fervent fire for the Lord. And man, we're going to get to the end and we're like, man, and you're going to dread when they call your name. I never had time. How many times have we heard that as preachers and people involved? I don't have time. And I know I'm preaching to Wednesday night crowd. I don't have time. I don't have time for Sunday night. I don't have time for Wednesday night. I don't have time for soul winning. We got enough opportunity to go out soul winning. I didn't know how. It's another excuse. I didn't know how. Trust me, there's a lot of teachers in this room. Some say, well, Brother Danny, I'll serve God later. Once I'm like 21, 22, that's when I'm going to get serious. Some say, well, I'll just get baptized later. I got to get to know a little bit more, you know. I'll start to serve God a little more down the road. I'll get saved later. Hey, there might not be a later. Matthew, we're in Matthew 25. We have the parable of the ten wives. Cinco. You gotta know what cinco is. Five of them had the oil. Five of them didn't. The husbandman came, and the five of them were out to get the oil for their lamps, and missed it. How sad. There might not be time later to get it right. All the excuses you can give are nothing. But man, it is high time today. And knowing the time, that it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. Hey folks, the end is near. And you might be in here looking at this sign and you are dreading it. You think of death. You think of the rapture and you're like, I don't feel good about this. You get a knot in your throat. You have something in your belly that tells you this ain't right. I'm going to get left behind. If I die, I'm going to open my eyes and hell. Hey, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you're here and you're waiting for it with desire. You've served. You've been faithful for years. And you are still faithful. You are involved. You pray. You give. You are here. You read. You pray. You go out soul winning. You do what you can. Hey, that end is coming. Man, it's a desire. I can't wait. Or maybe you're here and you're waiting for that end with disappointment. Hey, folks, put aside those temporal things. Just put them aside. Put aside that next promotion if it's going to obligate you to take you out of God's will and take you out of church. You need to be here. This is important. This is eternal. This is what's going to bless and help your family. Not another dollar. Man, you're going to get to heaven. You're going to get to your old age and you're going to see, man, I spent so much time focused on what I wanted and what I wanted to do and to grow this and to have this amount in the bank. And when you look back, you're going to look back at your Christian life and your Christian service and you're going to look at it with disappointment because you weren't faithful. You were spotty. You were faithful for a few months and not faithful for a couple of years. And man, you were in and out and in and out. Hey, folks, let's strive to be faithful tonight. Let's strive to, when we get to the end, to finish with fire and finish our course and finish with desire. So as we conclude tonight, remember, the end is near. I don't have to tell you that. You guys know. You guys see it. The end is near. How are you responding to the end tonight? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this people that have attended and listened, Lord. Lord, I just want to please you. I want to get to the end of my life, Lord, and I want to hear, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, help me get to the end with desire and not disappointment. As the music plays, the altar's open if you would like to come. God spoke to your heart. You need to make a decision tonight. Maybe you're in here and you say, hey, Brother Danny, you know what? I know that the end is near, and I don't know where I'm going when I die. I know that if the rapture came tomorrow, I would be left behind. I knew if I died tomorrow, I would go to hell. Hey, preacher, pray for me. I need to get saved. I need to get saved. I need to ask Jesus Christ in my heart. I want to make sure 100% that I'm going to heaven. That I'm going to go to heaven with a desire. Someone here, raise your hand. Anyone? Say, Brother Danny, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm saved. Amen. I don't want to get there with disappointment. I want to get there with desire. Let your prayer be, Lord, help me get to the end with fire. Help me get to the end with a desire and faithfulness. Help me get there being sacrificing constantly, praying fervently, winning souls constantly. Oh Lord, the end is coming. The King is coming. Work, for the night is coming when man's work shall be.